I'm really excited to be here in Southern California today with Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to getting some of your input about vaccines. This documentary that we're filming is called The Truth About Vaccines. And there's a lot of lies and a lot of myths about vaccines, aren't there?
It's extraordinary. I mean, it started a long, long time ago. It almost started with the very advent of vaccines and Jenner. And it's continued ever since. It's gathered an extraordinary momentum, taking on the life of a religion rather than any kind of science or primary public health measure.
Talk about Jenner and the inception of vaccines. When you say, you know, it began with him, what kind of myths and lies began way back then?
Well, the notion that you could introduce a foreign agent into someone's body, inject protein effectively, which is something that's never happened in the history of man's evolution, is to introduce a foreign protein under the skin of someone rather than orally ingesting it, is playing with fire from the outset, because our immune system is geared up to react to those things. Now, the idea was that you're going to react to them in a beneficial way and produce immunity and protect yourself. And what was interesting, of course, about smallpox is that you were deceiving the immune system by giving vaccinia or cowpox, which was structurally similar to smallpox, which seemed to at least theoretically produce an immune response against the smallpox virus. And Jenner noted, as other people did, is that girls who got cowpox from milking cows were protected against smallpox. Mm. And all that led to him then experimenting on his son and his next door neighbor, and giving them multiple doses of this very, very crude extract of cowpox. And ultimately, I believe, leading to catastrophic failure in their immune systems and death of both children later as young adults. Mm. So not an experiment that you would necessarily consider well-designed or a good outcome. And I think that, you know, we failed to take the message away from that. It gathered momentum. It then became law. You had to do it. Mm-hmm. The eradication of smallpox was actually really a function of containment and isolation, of quarantine, rather than the vaccine itself. Okay. But the idea that we can't question vaccines now is derived from the success of what people believed happened with smallpox and polio. So whenever I get involved in a debate about measles vaccine or MMR or thimerosal, people say, yeah, but what about smallpox? What about polio? I said, we're not talking about this. We're talking about something completely different. Mm. Can we stay on topic? Can we focus on this and actually deal with the safety issue? We're not talking about either the benefits of vaccination, which are very questionable. There's certainly many, many questions that need to be answered. We're talking about the safety. The two very, very different things. Yeah. People talk about the benefits when they really should be focusing upon the safety. Just because something may produce a beneficial effect, that does not make it safe.
Right.
Very, very different things. And if you are going to institute a public health measure across the board for all healthy children in the country or in the world, then you've got to make absolutely certain that it is as safe as it possibly can be. And any red flags should be interpreted beyond doubt that there is a problem with that vaccine until proven otherwise. Mm.
It's interesting that you bring up safety, because if you asked 100 people on the streets, are vaccines safe and effective, I bet you 99 would say, yeah, they've been proven safe and effective. They've been proven safe. Have they?
Well, they've been proven neither safe nor effective. And I'll just give you one example, and that is the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Well, first of all, I mean, just as an example, when in Japan they took the mumps vaccine called the Urabi AM9, they gave 5 million doses in Japan and elsewhere as a single vaccine. There were very few, if any, prospectively reported cases of meningitis associated with that vaccine. When they combined it with measles and rubella into the MMR, there was a dramatic increase in the adverse reactions to that vaccine, to mumps. There was a dramatic increase in the rate of meningitis, such that they had to initially try and cover it up to protect the vaccine manufacturers and then withdraw the vaccine altogether. And in Japan, they've never gone back to using MMR because of that scandal. Mm. So when you combine three live viruses into one, you have got major problems. Now, the implications of that for safety were completely ignored. Mm. But there was a red flag. There was a red flag that should have said, we have got a problem. One and one and one don't equal three, they equal something completely different. So The idea that vaccines are safe is something that's been put out there as a public health, public relations exercise. That's become part of the rhetoric, the mantra. But it's not true at all. And you ask pediatricians, where do you get your information from? Well, we get it from the CDC. Well, the CDC is deeply, deeply compromised. And just in the setting of MMR, we now know from the CDC whistleblower William Thompson that they've been lying about the safety of MMR in the context of autism for 13 or 14 years.
Talk about that case real briefly about William Thompson and the whistleblower for those that are not familiar with that. What happened?
Certainly. Well, William Thompson is the first insider in the history of the world to come forward from the Immunization Safety Office of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and say, we have known for 13 years that there's a causal association between the MMR vaccine used in America and autism in children, and we have covered it up. Mm. We have lied. We have committed scientific fraud, in effect. And they have recklessly and knowingly put millions of children in harm's way to protect what? Their friends in industry? Their, put the public confidence in them? Mm. How is that going to look when this all comes out as it will? And Thompson lived with this for 13 years. He actually, at the time, questioned the decision to cover this up. He questioned the decision to destroy documents. He questioned the decision to hide from the Institute of Medicine and Congress the fact that they had found this uncomfortable association between vaccines and autism. But he was silenced, and he went along with it. But his conscience got the better of him, and 13 years later, he came forward to a friend and colleague, Dr. Brian Hooker, father of an autistic child, vaccine-damaged child, and said, we have known for 13 years that these vaccines, this vaccine is causing autism. So that then should have been, it's the biggest medical fraud in the history of the world. It should have made national news on every network, in every print newspaper. None. Mm. None of them touched it. Why? Because they're owned by the pharmaceutical industry. They're owned and their script is written by the pharmaceutical industry. And that is the problem. It never may. You look at that Flint expose of lead in water. Within a month, the Office of Government Reform of Congress had held a hearing on Flint. The knowledge that there was excess lead in water, the cover-up, and now it became, within a month, they had a hearing. This has now been
Why did that not happen with the CDC?
It's been nearly 2 years. Why? Because politicians are embarrassed by things that make it into the media. And that made it into the media. They were embarrassed. They held a hearing. The other thing, of course, is that the politicians themselves are deeply compromised. Mm. They are funded by the pharmaceutical industry. They are owned to some extent by the pharmaceutical industry. So they dare not question some public health measure that may compromise the industry's bottom line. Mm. And of course, they've got all these doctors within the public health system, many of them who are deeply compromised themselves by the fact that they're getting money from pharma. Yeah. They're telling them, look, please don't do this, don't mention this, don't discuss it, don't hold a hearing on this, let the CDC do an internal investigation, because we cannot have a loss of public confidence in public health or vaccines. Mm. Well, that is exactly what's going to happen.
Well, you know, it seems to me that this, what happened with the CDC and this whistleblower story, it's, that's criminal to me.
Yeah, it's criminal on many, many levels.
They knew they were damaging, physically damaging children, and did nothing about it.
It's criminal on many levels. You know, first of all, you've got the actual cheating, the fraud, the deception of people in the first place, so that parents can't get informed consent about the safety of a vaccine because they're being told a lie, because the pediatricians are being told a lie by the CDC. So there is a lack of informed consent to parents. They are unknowingly, unwittingly putting their children at high risk without knowing anything about it. Number two is that what happens when the CDC presented their data to the Institute of Medicine, then Frank DiStefano got up there and lied about the data. The message to the Institute of Medicine, the IOM, was that MMR vaccine is safe. The IOM produced a report which said, this vaccine is safe. There is no need for any further research to be funded on the possibility that MMR vaccine is causing autism. That went to the US Court of Federal Claims, the Vaccine Court, and 5,000 children who had claims in that court were denied. Their cases were thrown out in large part based upon the fraud committed by the CDC. And that is an obstruction of justice. Now you're talking about a felony. Now you're talking about a crime that will send these people to prison. Mm. Then you have lying to Congress. They have lied to Congress. They've lied by omission, by Colleen Boyle going to Congress, knowing these results at the CDC, being a co-author on that paper, and saying MMR vaccine is safe, continue as we are. Mm. So you have crime on multiple levels.
Yes.
And what I would like to see is these people held personally accountable. And this is what needs to happen, not to hide behind the CDC or HHS, but to be held personally accountable, to be brought to the court for denying parents the right to informed consent to protect their children, mm. for committing this fraud, and they should go to prison.
Yeah, I agree. What has happened is an atrocity. If you look at what has happened, if it were in another realm, if it were like in local law enforcement realm, if policemen had been involved with something that they were hurting people, I mean, the policemen would be held individually accountable and thrown in jail, right? But that's exactly what happened with the CDC, with these people that lied on many levels and committed all these different crimes, but they have not been held accountable personally. And that, to me, that's another crime in and of itself, is that no one has been held accountable to this point. We have thousands and thousands of babies that have been damaged permanently, many of them.
Well, our job is to hold them accountable, and we need now to use the movie that we've made about this, the documentary, to force Congress to act and take responsibility. Because what you're dealing with here are people who have sworn to protect the health of the children of this country. It's not just that they're neutral on this, they have actually undertaken, as part of their professional and moral obligation, as part of the CDC, to be responsible for the protection of the health of the children of this country, and quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. They are deliberately, knowingly, and recklessly putting them at risk of a major, lifelong, debilitating disease.
That's horrible. It's horrible because these are children that are living with this damage. If they live, if they're living, they're living with it sometimes for life. Mm. This is permanent damage at times. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too much, but that's really personal to me. I have four children, and I see that what's happened to these children, it's an atrocity. But I want to ask you about something that happened about maybe 20 years ago. It was in the late 90s, I believe. And you were thrown through the mud. I mean, you were slandered, you were lied about, because you allegedly said that the MMR caused autism, right? Let's talk about what happened with the MMR vaccine. What did you actually say? And let's talk about the study. Because eventually the lead researcher for that study was found to be not guilty of any falsehood, right?
Absolutely.
So how can you be maligned when the lead researcher was not? So let's talk about what happened with the MMR and what did you actually say?
Well, look, firstly, as a broad principle, if you offend the powers that be, if you offend public health, if you offend the pharmaceutical industry and threaten their bottom line, as we did by calling into question the safety of MMR, there is no price that you will not pay. Mm. That's it. It isn't, people talk about conspiracy theory. This is just ruthless pragmatism. We will destroy you in order to protect our bottom line. Mm. And that's the way these people operate. So that's a reasonable starting point from understanding what happened to me.
Okay.
But you go into these things knowing what the consequences might be. You don't realize quite how savage the attacks are going to be, or if you did, perhaps you wouldn't go into the first. I like to think that I would, but nonetheless, you know, it's been an interesting ride for the last 20 years. But we did what we should have done, and that is listen to parents who came to me and said, my child was fine, they were developing normally, they got an MMR vaccine, they developed bowel problems, and they regressed into autism. I knew nothing about autism, but I did know a lot about inflammatory bowel disease. So the symptoms in these children clearly merited investigation. We got them together with the world's leading pediatric gastroenterologist, Professor John Walker Smith, and his team, and we investigated them, and the parents were right. The children had an inflammatory bowel disease. And when we treated that in the way that you would treat, say, Crohn's or colitis, then not only did the bowel symptoms improve, but the cognitive symptoms improved, the autism improved. It didn't go away, but it made a huge difference to the child's quality of life. So, beginning of a very interesting journey, we published the first 12 cases in the Lancet paper where we explicitly said this does not prove an association between MMR vaccine and the syndrome described, the bowel disease, the autistic regression.
Right.
This needs further research. That's what we said. It's been the most misrepresented paper in the history of the world.
Absolutely.
I doubt many people have actually read it, but they clearly have an opinion on it. So then through Rupert Murdoch's News International, the Sunday Times, freelance journalist Brian Deer, who's, I believe, a hitman for GlaxoSmithKline, then, but that's my opinion, came forward and proceeded to dismantle my career, the paper, and tell some extraordinary lies about it, ultimately claiming that I'd committed fraud, when in fact there were 13 authors on that paper, many of them the world leaders in their field. The idea that I could single-handedly commit this fraud, sneak it under the carpet, when all of these people had to sign off on the paper, who between them have published some, I don't know, several thousand papers in peer-reviewed journals. Yeah. This one, they just took their eye off the ball? I don't think so.
That's absurd.
Professor Walker Smith, coming to the end of his career, an unimpeachable career, writing the textbooks that train the pediatric gastroenterologist today, would commit fraud, would commit all of these sins, would not investigate children on clinical need, but to experiment on them? When? At the age of 60-something, when he's about to retire? I don't think so.
No.
It was so fanciful that they made it so complex, and they had such a powerful mechanism, a vehicle through which to distribute the message, you know, the mainstream media, the Sunday Times in England, that it became very difficult as a single individual to do anything but just roll with the punches.
Right.
Take it all, assemble it into the truth over many years, and then come back. And now, for the first time in 20 years, with William Thompson coming forward with a story that essentially investigated a hypothesis that we gave them all that time ago. We gave the CDC a hypothesis that we believe it's age of exposure to MMR that's the risk. The younger you are, the younger you get it, the greater the risk, which would explain why not every kid who gets MMR would be at risk. Yeah. It's part of the problem, maybe age of exposure. They tested that hypothesis, found it was correct. And Thompson said to me, in text, he said, you paid the price for my dishonesty. And wow. I hope I can help to restore your career.
How did that make you feel when you got that input from him?
It was a little too late in many ways. But the truth is, it made me... I've been described as a pathological optimist. You know, I really believe that we will get to the bottom of this, we will solve it. And I was just delighted that a man of conscience had, even after all these years, decided to come forward and tell the truth. That's what counts. What happens to me actually doesn't matter at all. It's irrelevant. What happens is that we do the right thing, we stop this problem, we stop children getting injured, and we make the world a healthier place for kids to grow.
Yeah, that's true. And that's, you know, that's why I really admire the work that you've done. I'm really thankful for what you've done. You're a trailblazer. And share with us the name of the documentary that you've been involved with.
The documentary is, we had more trouble coming up with a name for this documentary than we did shooting the documentary. I mean, yeah, selection by committee, never get involved in it. I wanted originally to call it Feast of Consequences. And that comes from a quotation by Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote Treasure Island and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And he said, sooner or later, we must all sit down to a feast of consequences. I love that.
Yeah.
I was told by my producer, that's far too intellectual. No one will understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
It's gone. So I fought for it for about half a day. And all right. One thing he convinced me of was, you know, how you have to take things to a certain level. Eventually, we have a French Frenchman involved in the sort of distribution side of it, and he said, "I want a name that is really frightening." So I said, "Okay, what about the extinction schedule?" You know, with a reflection on the vaccine schedule, the extinction. "Oh no, that is far too frightening."
Too frightening.
Okay. I said, "You are a difficult man to please." Yeah. Okay, so then we got to Vaxxed. V-A-X-X-E-D, from cover-up to catastrophe. So we all said, okay, that tells the story, gets it in there, you know, and Vaxxed may put a few skeptics off from watching it in the first place, but hey, it's, you know, it's short, punchy, gets the message, so we're going to call it.
Okay, awesome.
And you'll see the trailer this afternoon.
Okay, yeah, looking forward to it. Last question for you. When my eldest daughter's 16, when she was born, we did not know about vaccines. We had her vaccinated. We were pressured into vaccinating by a pediatrician that looked my wife in the eye and says, if you don't vaccinate your child, you're not welcome here. Because we were beginning to learn about the potential harms of vaccines, and we didn't want to vaccinate. But we were basically pressured into it, whether we would lose a doctor. If it were today, I would just walk out. But then you're like, oh, I don't want to lose the pediatrician. Okay, so we got her vaccinated. And she showed lots of symptoms of regression into the autism spectrum. Now, she doesn't anymore, but we saw some problems immediately. Now, I have four children. The youngest two girls have never had a needle. If you had a young child now, what would you do as far as vaccinating or not vaccinating?
Just a little backstory to this. When I first got involved, based upon the parents' story, I was looking at MMR. I was concerned about that. The more I got involved in it, the more concerned I became. I started hearing from the US about the thimerosal mercury preservative, about aluminum as an adjuvant, about formaldehyde, fetal cells, contaminants, retroviruses, and I came to the conclusion after a lot of research that if I had a baby now, I would not give them a vaccine until someone can prove to me that the vaccines are individually and collectively safe. The schedule is safe. There's been no testing of that schedule, and so at the moment, I wouldn't give a newborn baby of mine any vaccines. And when I come to meetings like the one we're at now, CalJAM, where chiropractors bring their babies, they actually bring them and they sit at the back. The babies are so well behaved, and you look at them and they engage you. They've got great eye contact, they engage, they are so far ahead of the children we see in the community.
Yeah.
And they've never had a vaccine. It makes you think, wow, it's terrifying. It's actually terrifying to see how healthy they are, because it makes you realize that we have done something really very, very bad.
Mm.
So that's my honest answer. I don't give recommendations. I simply tell people what I would do if I were a new father today.
Mm. Well, thanks for sharing that. It's interesting that you mentioned the newborn babies. Just a half hour ago, I was out there in the lobby, and a little eight-month-old came up and grabbed my finger and looked right in my eyes. And it just struck me what you just said. Yeah, there's the engagement that you see with these children here is at another level than what we're used to. So, you know, you wonder how much of that is vaccine-induced. But Dr. Wakefield, thank you so much for what you're doing. You're a big hero of mine, and I'll continue to push the truth about vaccines far and wide as long as we can. Thanks for what you're doing.
Much.
Appreciate it.